Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Question and Answer Thursday, everybody. So excited that you're here to watch me today on The Impactful Parent. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Christina. I am the founder and managing principal of The Impactful Parent. And every Thursday, I take one of those questions that you guys submit all week long, and I answer it live here on Instagram or wherever I post this. But usually we do it Facebook and Instagram. So here we go. Let's get started with our question. So today's question is, I have a really sweet but super intense six-year-old boy. He has one noise level, loud, which I can handle, but a lot of the time it's a fight or it's to say something that's going on that's wrong. When things don't go his way, he gets loud and says hurtful things. It's to the point where kids don't want to be with him, and it makes me feel bad for him because then he will say that no one wants to play with him. I also get comments from adults like, how do you deal with him? And I see his adorableness, and I don't want him to be pushed away by others. What do I do? He really does have the sweetest side, but snap of the fingers, and he goes into the other mode. All right, so thank you for submitting this. And if you want to submit your question next week, you can always DM me, that's direct message, or you can send your question to theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. So this six-year-old boy is not that unusual. I'm sure there's some audience out there that has a very similar situation. And what do you do when you have this? Well, first of all, I want to applaud you for being a fantastic mom, whoever you are who wrote this question in to me today. You are being amazing. So thank you for loving your child wholeheartedly. You are a great mom. Second, okay, there are a few things that stuck out to me when I read your note. The first one is that your son has a high noise level. The second thing is that it sounds like he has impulsive thoughts that has no filter. He just says whatever he feels, even if he's going to be rude about it. And the third thing I heard when I was reading this was there's a lack of understanding of consequences for his actions. So what do I recommend? The first thing I'm going to recommend is that perhaps you do want to get him tested for some things like ADHD or even giftedness, because I see this a lot in the classroom with those kind of symptoms. And there's also some other things that you could be looking out for. What happens is sometimes we're in the day-to-day of our kids. It's like watching them grow. You don't really see them grow, right? But when somebody comes in from the outside, you're like, oh my gosh, you grew so much since the last time I saw you. It's that kind of thing. If we're doing it and seeing it and it's part of our day-to-day lives, sometimes we can't see sometimes what might be right in front of us. And that would be my recommendation first, is maybe to get him tested for some of those attributes to see if he would need some help. But let's say you don't want to do that, or there's other things you need to do to help in the meantime, right? Well, you need to be consistent with guided instruction and teaching him every time that something like the rude talking happens. So what you're going to do is every single time he says something rude, you're going to have to take him to the side and process with him about what was going on there. This is a little bit tiring and you have to be very consistent and exhausting, but in the long run, it's the best thing to do. So you take him to the side and you would say, how would that make you feel if somebody said that to you? And you kind of throw it back to him so he has to process what's going on. You know, would you like that if somebody had said that? What emotion are you feeling right now that made you want to say something like that to somebody else? Is there a better way that you could have rephrased what you wanted to say if he's angry? So you're coaching him through alternative ways and why is it that you're being impulsive? And this is, again, kind of tiring, but if you're consistent with it, it will help. It'll start alleviating the problem. So for example, I might say, why did you tell John that he's stupid? How would you feel if John told you that you were stupid? Yeah, and even though you know you're not stupid, it doesn't make us feel good to hear that, does it? And then you say something like, when we're kind, then other people are more likely to be kind back to us. And people like them. You want to be kind to people. You might be This might be why John doesn't want to play with you, because you're making him feel bad. So you're linking his behavior with a consequence, and it's right there in the moment, which is really important for especially the younger they are. I'm glad you have compassion for your son when kids don't want to play with him, but unfortunately, this kind of pain will serve him well in the future. Let me explain. You want to let him feel this uncomfortable feeling now when he's young, so he correlates being mean with others not wanting to be around him, because it's a good lesson. It's good for him to learn this consequence now, what his actions are doing to other people, and what in reciprocal, what's happening because of his actions, so he doesn't become a bully later. I would do the same thing with the loud behavior. So I would show him the consequence. So maybe it's saying something like, you know, when you're loud, you're really hurting Aunt Jenny's ears. And that makes her want to get away from you because you're hurting her. So if you want to play or hang out with Aunt Jenny, then you really need to use your inside voice. And again, see, you're saying it out loud, you're processing with him how his action has this consequence in the moment and what's happening because of his behavior. So this is super important because you want to label the behavior and not the child. So you're saying that behavior is has this consequence that we don't really like, the behavior, not you. There's nothing wrong with the child. It's the behavior. And your child has control of his behaviors. So he can choose a different action. Which leads me to some other stuff. So the next thing I would do is you teach him how to replace the behavior. Because a lot of times, kids just don't know any other way. Well, okay, you can't just say, don't do that. And then they just don't know what to do. You have to tell them what to do instead. So in that last example, I said, you need to use your inside voice around Aunt Jenny. See, I replaced the loud behavior with the more appropriate behavior, and you say it out loud. Because although it seems so logical and intuitive to us, that sometimes for kids, it's not that obvious. You say, don't do something, and then they don't know what to do. Like, well, if I can't do that, what do I do then? And since they don't know what else to do, they keep repeating the behavior over and over again because you're not substituting it with anything else. The next thing I would do is I would set limits and boundaries on what's acceptable behavior before it occurs. And what I mean by that is if you know that you're having a play date with somebody and you're going to set the expectations of that play date before it happens. So before you even walk out the door, you're going to say, hey, we're going to go to John's house for this play date. We're going to be there for 1 hour. And I'm going to tell you when we have 15 minutes left, when we have 10 minutes left, and when we have 5 minutes left. And when we leave, if you don't complain, it'll be great. Maybe we'll get some ice cream on the way home and you'll reward the behavior for being good. Or you can say, but if you don't leave or you start to cry when I ask you to stop playing, then the next time we may not see Johnny for like a 10 minutes less, or maybe we won't see Johnny for a week, but there's a consequence for not following the instructions when the behavior was already, the expectations were already set prior. And you can also label things like, if you hit Johnny while we're there, we will leave immediately. And you're telling him this before you even walk out the door. You're setting the expectation. So he knows that if he gets mad and he hits somebody, you're gonna leave right away. And then you actually have to do it. You can, there's no exceptions to this. If you hit somebody, you gotta get up and you gotta walk out and you apologize and you leave the room and you leave the house or leave the play date, wherever it is you're doing. And it's, you're really setting that standard and being consistent with your boundaries. And then praise him for the good behaviors that you do want to see big time. So if he does do all the expectations that you asked, then hey, on the way home, we're getting ice cream or something fun. On the way home, we're going to go do this. Or because of that, you get to pick what's for what we're going to do tonight or which movie we're going to watch for our family time. You're going to go ahead and do that for him and praise, praise, praise all that good behavior and just lift him up with all the good things that he does. So he starts to see more apparent the correlation between the good behavior and the behavior that's not serving him well. I would also establish a place in your home where when he gets angry and can't process those feelings, that he has a place to go decompress and recollect himself. And this is more important with the younger child, but older kids do this too. Other older kids just use their room. But for my younger children, I'll put like a special tent in their room. And this tent maybe has pillows in it and books to read, maybe some manipulatives or fidgets. So when they get angry, they have this special place where they go to decompress, to pull themselves together, to make sure that their emotions come back into check. And it's their little place. So that helps. It helps them give them a place to regulate again. Another thing maybe to teach kindness is also pets. Pets tend to do that. Live pets that you can snuggle with, dogs, rabbits, that shows kindness and how to be gentle. And lastly, I would say with this particular case, I would be really selective about the media that he's watching. If he's watching a lot of violent things, then that is kind of teaching him those same kind of behaviors. There's not always a really direct correlation, but there can be. And so if you're having problems with him hitting or just being unkind in general, it might be something that you're not teaching him, but it could be something he's watching on media. So for a while, it doesn't have to be forever, for a while it would just monitor what kind of outside environment is teaching him these things. And media could be one of them. Obviously, anybody in the house could also be a part of that influence. And that's what I have for you today. I thank you again for submitting this question. I hope I answered it well enough for you guys. And again, if you want to submit your question for next week, you can do that by direct messaging me or go to theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. And maybe next week, I'll pick your question. So thanks, guys.
So until next time, remember, parents, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge. Browse the free resources or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.